Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
Thank you for being in ladies' class tonight. We're so glad everybody made it. Let me read our bios for the ladies that are going to be talking to us tonight. We have Kara Hargett and Alyssa Flowers. Almost said Alyssa Hargett. Kara grew up in Florence, Alabama, and moved to Huntsville in 1986 after marrying her high school sweetheart, David. They have been members at Madison since then and raised their three girls, Haley, Alyssa, and Lauren, here. In 2020, Kara retired from teaching and is now happy to be taking care of three of her grandbabies while their mommy and daddy work. She and David have six grandchildren and say that there's nothing better than being in their mammy and papa era. Currently, Kara is involved in Flourish Groups and Kids Corner, supports David's work with Project Rescue, and is a co-coordinator for the shower ministry. She enjoys loving on her grandbabies, spending time with family and friends, traveling with David, and can't wait for him to join her in retirement soon. Okay, and then Alyssa, her daughter. Alyssa and her husband, John David, have been at Madison since the spring of 2021. She was born and raised in Huntsville and grew up at Madison. She has many memories with the best youth group and best youth minister ever. You may know him, Brandon Presnell. JD and Alyssa have three kids, John Luke, who is four, Audrey, who is two, and Annabelle, who is one. Alyssa teaches career prep, health, Senior Girls Bible, and co-teaches the Spiritual Formation class at Madison Academy. Also, whoa, y'all are busy ladies. So we just appreciate them saying yes to doing this and all the work that they've put in up until now and for their bravery in doing this. So I'm going to say a prayer for us, and then we are going to have Phoebe come up in just a second, okay? She's like looking at me like that. And we're so excited. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here. Thank you for the health and safety we've enjoyed and all the provision that you've given us in that. We pray that you will be with Kara and Alyssa tonight and that you will guide their words and calm their spirits and help them to know that you are speaking through them and that you're using this as a time where they can showcase all the goodness that has happened in their life because of you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, ladies. Hi. I sure have loved hearing the scriptures that have strengthened and inspired and encouraged the sisters who have so openly shared their stories with us this quarter. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to you tonight about my faith journey and how God has how God's word has impacted me during some pretty difficult times. I have a few battle scars, but I serve the one who is the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness, and I'm okay with a few scars here and there. While I'm sharing about these times of trial and uncertainty in my life, I've been praying that your focus won't be fixed on these, but rather on the faithfulness and goodness of our God. In Psalm 145, 5 through 7, David wrote, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." In Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, we also read that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. While God's word has had the greatest effect on me, music has also brought me to a deeper place with him in times of uncertainty in my life. So I wanted to share a few of these that have been important in my heart posture the past few years. One of these that complements the passages that I just read is the goodness of God. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this. but I wanted to read it. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because all my life, you've been faithful, and all my life, you've been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. So after I heard this a few times, and by the way, I can't really hear it or sing it or listen to it without just puddling up, so that was pretty good. But after I'd heard this a few times, I started thinking about how really all my life he has been faithful and so, so good. The goodness of God was shown to me from the very beginning of my life when he chose my parents. And that goodness would continue through my childhood, which was a happy one with parents who modeled a joyful life in Christ. And when I was 12, his goodness led me to give my life to him too. His goodness showed up in middle school at Mars Hill Bible School when I met the guy who would capture my heart and eventually be the one I would marry. And yes, that's the same David that y'all know. And of course, his goodness was evident in a big way as he blessed us with three beautiful daughters. These are obviously just a few of the good things in my life, but I'm using them to make this point. It's so easy to recognize his goodness when life is good, but what about when our world gets shaken with not so good news or scary unknowns? Unknowns, what do we do when we face them? Our unknowns are different, but we've all had or we will have times of uncertainty in our life. So where do we go? What do we do when we're faced with unknown outcomes of circumstances that are completely out of our control? Early in 2005, I found a very small lump, and of course I went to have it checked. I was sent for a biopsy, and a few days later was diagnosed with stage 2 ductal carcinoma breast cancer. But wait, God, I'm only 39 years old. I have no family history of cancer, no high risk factors, and I still have three young girls at home. So a storm was gearing up, and I was feeling pretty overwhelmed by all the unknowns, like, what's the prognosis? What are the statistics? How sick will I be from chemo? What would radiation feel like? Could I keep teaching? How would I help my girls navigate through this? Have you ever felt like Peter? When you're right in the middle of the storm and you take your eyes off of the only one who can keep you from sinking, and you take it off for a minute and you feel like you're going to drown. Well, that's a relatable visual that God provided us in this story, but he tells us in Isaiah 43:1-3, "Now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Through this passage, God reminded me that he created me, that I belong to him, so I shouldn't be afraid. He wouldn't let me drown. And I might be about to walk through a fire, but he would take care of that too. So at 39, I was realizing that for the first time in my life, y'all, 39, the first time in my life that I could remember, my faith was being seriously tested. And I found myself asking, do I truly believe God's promises? Did I trust the shepherd that was walking beside me, as David described in Psalm 23? Do I have a faith that is bigger than my fears? I can remember very clearly, after many tears, prayers, and meditation over Scripture, a peace came over me that I had never experienced before. But Jesus explains this in John 14:27, where he says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give you." And that's the peace that I felt. And that's also when I stopped wrestling with those questions. Yes, I did believe the promises of God. And you know, faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay no matter how things turn out. So our good and faithful Father was there in the days and months to follow, and after 3 months of chemo and 6 weeks of radiation treatments, in the fall of 2005, I got to ring the bell, cancer-free, praise God. Then in 2021, We found out, I believe, quite literally by God's providence, that I had blockages in two of my major arteries. No high blood pressure, no cholesterol ever, and no major family history of heart disease. But because of my radiation and chemotherapy in 2005, the cardiologist wanted to do a heart cath just to be thorough in checking everything out. Well, I guess I'm glad he wanted to do that, because I woke up from that procedure to hear that I would need a double bypass open heart surgery. Obviously, it took a while to process this news, and my fears of more unknowns were back. God is faithful, though, and during this time, His Spirit led me to a verse that I had memorized back in 2005. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." While we were asking all the questions and going to appointment after appointment and gathering information, Alyssa sent me a song through a text one day that I had never heard. And I stood in my kitchen in a puddle as I listened to the Father gently whispering, "I am enough." The song title is Jireh, as in Jehovah Jireh, which means "the Lord my provider." Interestingly, isn't that what Isaiah 41:10 had already told me? The first verse of the song says, "Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You've never been closer than you are right now, and I will be content in every circumstance. You are Jireh, and you are enough." I knew the presence of God in every step of this amazing and difficult journey, and He drew me and David so near to Himself as we traveled down this road. He was enough. Even in the middle of some big unknowns and some challenges along the way, and my heart was not only physically healed, it was overflowing with gratitude for the way He had walked beside us. A year and a half later, in January of 2023, our family faced a trial unlike anything we could have imagined. Our youngest daughter, Lauren, was pregnant with her first baby due in June. And on January 31st, she and our son-in-law, Jabri, went for what was supposed to be an exciting checkup. They were going to find out the gender of the baby. But not only was the gender identified that day, the ultrasound also revealed what would soon be diagnosed as an incompetent cervix, which means it was almost certain that Lauren would miscarry. But for the next 91 days, despite what the doctor told her, Lauren and Jabri waited out the unknown while she laid in a hospital bed. Every day they worshiped and prayed and trusted while God was working a miracle. I could use up this entire quarter telling y'all about their story and the countless ways our family and friends witnessed the providence and the goodness and faithfulness of God in every single detail of it. 1 Chronicles 16:9-10 beautifully says, "Sing praises to Him, tell of all His wondrous works, glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." And on May 2nd, boy, did we rejoice as our precious baby Charlotte was born. His parents chose His name for its meaning, which are peace, abundance, and His gift, so perfect. And for the rest of his life, I know every time I look at that baby, I will see the goodness of God. Well, I was 18 years cancer-free when, as most of you know, in November of 2023, I was diagnosed with breast cancer again. Scarier words than in 2005, it was not a reoccurrence. It's metaplastic carcinoma. This is a rare and aggressive form of cancer and can sometimes be non-responsive to chemotherapy. So I was faced with more uncertainty and more fear. More surgery, more blood work, more scans, more treatments, and yes, more hair loss. And I wish I had time to tell y'all a funny right now, because I didn't want this to just be like a boo-hoo thing. But I don't have time, so come and ask me about my wig story from 2005 sometime. This is pretty fun. Thankfully, I've now had quite a bit of experience walking with the Lord through the unknown. Plus, I now had 6 more precious reasons to fight. In James 1:2, God says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Should I really be able to count all these trials as joy? God said it, but how do I do it? In my experience, faith doesn't usually grow stronger when life is easy. And the passage itself explains this. I can know that when my faith is tested, it will produce in me one that is unshakable. And then I'll be complete and have all that I need. And that's something that I can be joyful about. And by now, if I didn't have a faith that was steadfast, there must be something wrong with me. While my faith and gratitude will never match His faithfulness and goodness, I am counting my trials as joy because they have moved me closer to where I want to be. And once again, thank you, God, I'm cancer-free. Last year before I started chemo, I typed up a list of scriptures, and I had done this in 2005 too. I just did it as a hard copy, but I started all over. My mind and my spirit and my maturity were in a different place, and so I typed up scriptures in my phone so that I could read them during my treatments. And as I thought about the road ahead, I began to actually reflect back on God's goodness and faithfulness in my life to this point. And this focused my heart and my prayers towards gratitude. The 23rd Psalm was the first passage I put in my phone notes. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Sometimes we might want to think that God's goodness and mercy mean an easy life, but David knew better. He was hunted, betrayed, rejected, discouraged, and afraid. But still he said, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me." Why could David say this? Because goodness isn't about our circumstances. It's about God's presence. And if you have Him, you have goodness, even in suffering. And for this, I'm so grateful. In all of these trials, our good and faithful God was present, providing everything that I needed. Peace, strength, courage, rest, and a sense of humor, because sometimes I just wanted to laugh instead of cry. He gave me the strongest and most loving support system in David, our girls, our son-in-laws, and our extended family. He led me to amazing medical teams, and He gave me you, my spiritual family. David and I saw His goodness as you... This will probably be the hardest part of my whole thing. We saw His goodness as you covered us in prayer in our home, in the hospitals, in the pews and classrooms of this building, through phone messages and in your personal conversations with our Father. We saw His goodness as you cried with us, hugged us, asked us how we were doing, sent cards, brought dozens of meals, cleaned our house, did our laundry. In 2005, we saw His goodness as my dear friend Amy Baker delivered flowers to my front door every treatment day. And last year we saw it when another precious friend, Melissa Hyde, delivered a happy gift bag to my porch every treatment day. We felt His goodness when Christian Brothers came to sit with David during my long heart surgery, and we saw it when friends drove me to and from treatments and kept me company during them, and I could go on and on and on. What a humbling experience, but a blessing beyond words to be so loved and cared for by your brothers and sisters in Christ. Psalms 111:1 says, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly." That's you. And I thank Him for you. So what can we do when we face the unknowns of life? Here's the only things that I know. Number one, we can put our trust in the shepherd who walks beside us. Number two, we can hold fast to His words because they are life. Number three, we can recount the goodness of a faithful God, and we can express our faith and gratitude through praise. If you're facing an unknown right now, remember, God's words give life, and He is a good and faithful God. I pray that you will find rest in His embrace, draw strength from His presence. But whether life is filled with uncertainty or if everything is going great at the moment, let the words of this song set your heart to call on the name of the Lord, knowing that He will never fail you. Please sing along if you would like.
So my mom wrote all of our speeches growing up as we were, you know, enlatched leaders. And she's also a perfectionist. And I got a lot of things from her, but those two things, like, I really didn't connect on. So it's not that I didn't prepare for this. I have three kids running around, and I know everybody's busy, but I just want to say I'm not 100% sure what all I'm going to say. But I know that the Lord has gone before us week after week in this class, and it has been such a blessing to be in here, from Christy and Pam talking about peace in the storm, to Amy and Carol, to ladies who have been like mother figures to me since before I can remember. Delaney and Olivia, I wasn't here for y'all's, but I went back and listened to it, and it was amazing. And then last week, Emma and Laura, and everybody in between. It's been so, so good, and just a blessing, truly. And thank you. I wanted to thank Laurie and Cindy for doing this, for facilitating it as well, because I just loved it. I want to do it again. I don't know if y'all feel the same way, but I want to hear from like everybody in here. So what in the world do I have to share with the ladies in that room? That is the question after the first night of sitting in here that I had. And that followed my initial response to them asking me to do this. When I found out what the theme was, I thought one thing, and then after I heard a few people speak, I was like, well, I haven't firsthand experienced something. I think about Miss Casey saying that she told her kids that they weren't allowed to say that something was hard because they didn't know hard. And I am so thankful. Like, I don't think I really know hard. My mom, yeah, she knows hard. And so then I thought about some different things that I could possibly talk about. Like, I could talk from my point of view of, like, my mom having gone through all this, of being the sister of one who was in the hospital. But I came back to my first inclination, and I just trusted that that was the Lord and the Spirit just speaking to me. And it's not so much, it has really nothing to do with something that's happened to me, but more something that I participated in and that is more of a spiritual battle. Not that those things don't lead to spiritual battles, but quite literally one of a sinful fleshly battle. That I had that really led me to what is now my favorite book in the Bible, which is Romans. And so all of those chapters just have led me to life. And so that's what I thought about. So I'm going to share that. And my mom didn't leave me much time, so I'm probably not going to get through all of it. And that's okay. That is more than okay. But I'm just going to go for it, and whatever I get to, I get to. So I want to go back to my mom, actually, for a minute. Man, I'm thankful for you. She is a truth seeker, and she loves the Lord. And I know there's a lot of mom and daughter relationships at Madison, and I know everybody will probably say they have the best one, but I really have the best one. And really, that's kind of like where my story starts. I mean, I was raised with two of the best parents. Y'all know them well. And they raised us here at Madison, and I was surrounded by a youth group that was awesome, with great youth ministers. Not only that, our extended family, like my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, my cousins, we all shared in this like love for the Lord and like proclaimed to be believers in Jesus. And so there's that. I went to a Christian private school my whole life. And I mean, I have spiritual mentors and giants still to this day that I can call on. So yeah, I was baptized when I was 12 years old at Camp Nayati. And then my junior and senior years of high school, I had a Bible class where my teacher, his objective every day we walked in, like he wanted us by the end of his class to be able to say what we believed and why we believed that thing. And it really is what started and ended up making like my faith become my own. And so I'm super thankful for that. I interned after my freshman year of college. I applied for an internship through FCA. And so I did that for 2 summers. And really during that time, the Lord used that to teach me what it really meant to have an intimate relationship with him. He taught me how to be intimate with him during that time. And so, yeah, that all sounds great, right? Good. That was good. Okay, yeah, well, I mean, I'm married to an amazing man, have 3 kids, except Satan doesn't work that way. The enemy doesn't work that way, and my sinful inclinations don't mesh with that. And so that's the problem with that story. The enemy knew he was going to work hard to figure out how to deceive me and to use my sinfulness to pull me away from the Father's plan for my life. Unfortunately, up until this point in my life, like first and second year of college, the enemy had used past experiences in my life to plant ideas and lies in my mind and my heart. Before that FCA internship, when God would show me what it looked like to have an intimate relationship with him, I began to find intimacy in relationships with others. He also really taught me that and revealed to me that I really struggled with my identity and security coming from these relationships with people that God really put into my life. But who I was had everything to do with the depth of those relationships, whether that be with my family, with my coach, with my teammates, with a boy, like any relationship I'm just gonna latch onto, and like who I am is like completely defined by how deep those relationships were. And so that was a good thing. And so I also wanna point out, like, if you notice, I'm going kind of back and forth. Like, during this time, God was showing me things, but I was already in a sin struggle. And I wanna just say, like, God is working and the enemy is working at the same time. And that's okay. That's actually good news, because God's working. He's working. When Satan's working, he's working too. So this misplaced identity led me to become involved in 2 unhealthy relationships with other girls. For the longest time, I never wanted to call it homosexual for a few reasons. In the long-term plan for my life, I wanted to marry a man, have a family of my own, and I wasn't that. That wasn't who I was. 2, I had to hide it. No one could know this. And I meant to say this at the very beginning, that I was gonna be sharing something that, by the way, only like really the closest people in my life know this up to this point. And that's okay. I felt like it needed to be shared. So, but I felt like I had to hide it. And many of you probably understand that. But I did everything I could to not tell him. I was also in denial. That's what was happening. And so I lied to everyone around me, and I lied to myself as well. And I was very alone in that also. But if recalling what it really was, they were homosexual relationships. And unlike these testimonies that we've heard of something being done to someone, like this was a deliberate choice that I was making. It was intentional. And I knew it was wrong, and I was doing it anyways. And this is not really the time, I don't have time to go into the details of this struggle. If any of you know of anyone that is struggling with this, I would be more than happy to talk more extensively on it. But I just don't have time during this setting. But ultimately, it was a deeper expression or an expression of a deeper battle that I was fighting that was going on inside spiritually. And it was a spiritual battle, which leads me right to Romans chapter 7. And I have all these slides that we're not going to get to, so don't worry. We're just going to roll through them. But Romans chapter 7 and 8 are amazing. And Romans chapter 7, I say it's amazing. It's actually, Paul is talking about this clash of the sinfulness of our flesh and how he wants to do the right thing, but he cannot do it. He can't carry it out because of this sinful nature. And if I could just really break down this chapter, like that's what I really want to do right now, because at the beginning of the chapter, he talks about the law and how the law is actually a good thing because it reveals his sin. And so that makes it good. So it's not actually the law that's bad. It's actually his sin that's bad. And that's why he's doomed to death, is what he says. And then chapter 7 kind of ends. And it's hopeless. It's like truly hopeless if it ends right there. But it doesn't. It goes into chapter 8, which is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. And it is a lot of people's. For really the reason of the second half of chapter 8, which talks about how nothing can separate us from God's love. But the first half of chapter 8 is like my sweet spot because it talks about the Spirit. And I think Miss Kathy's going to be talking about this, and I don't know if she's going to use this, but I don't want to steal her thunder. But the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times in chapter 8 alone of Romans. And basically, we are set free from the bondage of our sin because of what Jesus has done. And I've experienced this on a level that I feel like some people don't ever experience. Not because it's not possible, but because they don't know where the freedom comes from. And so I praise God that like I have been set free from that bondage of sin. And I like celebrate that. And he's already victorious over all sin, right? But this gives me life even now. Obviously, I'm still in the flesh. So I still have this sin nature within me with other things. And so I can continually come back to this and say, so if you'll go to the end, Cindy, so I can wrap up because we're here at the end. But there was three takeaways, because after I decided that I was going to share this, I like kind of wrote this whole part out of my story, and then I was like, okay, but now what? Like, they're going to listen to me talk about all that, and then what are they going to really get from it? And I think these are three things that, like, if you took away anything from my story, I would want you to know. One is run to the light. If you're struggling with something, no matter how hard it might feel, like it might feel impossible, like you cannot tell a soul, but tell somebody, because he is light. And when you bring darkness into the light, he takes it over. And so run to the light, tell somebody. Number two is remain in the Father. Get to know the Father. You get to know the Father and it reveals your true self more. So you get to know your Creator, and then you learn who you are better, which is like so simple when you think about it, but I think that we get so busy and we forget to keep getting to know the Father, right? And then the third thing is renew and remember. Romans, keep going. Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove for yourselves the will of God, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. So I know this is like a pretty known verse, but if you really think about what's happening here, it is that you get to know the Father better, you get to know yourself better, your true self, or what God's will is for you. When we're transformed, well, how are we transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Well, how do we renew our mind? We get to know the Father. We spend time with the Father and through the Holy Spirit. And then that may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, which I think is just awesome. And then remember that he has already won the victory. and so I have to remind myself that as well, as I'm like, we are in a spirit, like there's spiritual warfare all around us. And it is like the biggest, when I was reading Romans chapter 8, I've read it a million times, but when I was preparing for this you know, God does his thing and he's like shows you something or makes you see it in a way that you've never seen it before. I started thinking about a battle speech, like from a famous movie, like a famous battle speech from a movie or history, like a real famous battle speech. And that's what it made me think of. Go back and read Romans chapter 8 for your homework. I'm a teacher also, so go read it and read it as if Paul is like gearing believers up for battle, but it's a spiritual battle. It's the biggest, most important battle that will ever be fought. But we already know how it ends, right? So we get to go fight in this battle that's like, of course I want to go fight in that battle, right? Because I already know who's holding it, who's fighting it for me, who's fighting it with me, and he's already conquered it and won it all, right? So life is found in his word. So yeah, that's all I have for y'all tonight. Well, it's not all I had actually, but that's okay. Thanks y'all.
Sorry. There is nothing I can say to add to that. Thank y'all so, so much for that. And y'all are about to get a lot of hugs. So anyway, you're dismissed.